Well, we return now to the ongoing controversy at RTE. Yesterday, the Minister for Media, Catherine Martin, announced an external review into corporate governance and culture at the broadcaster. And RTE bosses will appear before two Oireachtas committees next week. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has described the failure of the organisation to declare the full salary of presenter Ryan Tubridy as a breach of trust and truth between it and the government, the Oireachtas and the people. To discuss the longer-term consequences of this controversy, we're joined by Dr. Eileen Cullissey of the School of Communications at Dublin City University and Hugh Linehan, Arts and Culture Editor of the Irish Times. And I'll begin with yourself, Hugh Linehan. The external review of corporate governance, but also culture in RTE, should that include whether it is appropriate to pay presenters such large sums of money?
Oh, of course it should. That is one of the key issues. The most important issue of all remains, and we shouldn't lose sight of it, the fact that the Irish people, the government and the Oireachtas were misled by RTE. And there's two possible reasons for that. Either some of the people speaking didn't know what they were talking about, which is very worrying and is a question of governance, that they weren't aware of this issue, or even more worrying that people were deliberately misled. And we shouldn't lose sight of that as we dig further into this. The whole business of salaries for stars, you know, it occupies newspaper pages when these things come out, and in a way it can seem a little bit shallow, but I think it does also represent some legitimate critiques over the years of whether RTE actually does its business as well as it could and is a good steward of the public purse. You know, indications are that it isn't, I'm afraid. I'm very sorry I have to say that that's the case, but really this is absolutely shocking revelations that we've heard over the last while, and it goes to the very core of what a public service organisation like RTE is and what it should be into the future. So it needs to be much more root and branch than identifying a couple of individuals who might be responsible, who might indeed be on their way out the door because their contracts are imminently at their end anyway. We've got to go a lot deeper than that, a lot deeper.
Eileen Cullissey, some RTE workers may be listening to this and they will point out that there is a large gap between what top presenters earn and what other workers earn.
Absolutely. And, you know, RTE is a public sector broadcaster, but then the most shocking revelation is that this commercial division appears to not be able to do things that are not subject to the financial function and are not subject to oversight from the RTE board. So the review that Minister Martin is going to commission, she specifically highlighted that it will interrogate this commercial division. And I think that's very important. It's how are decisions made? Are any public value tests applied? And that includes salaries. You know, what is the relationship between the commercial division, the agents, the sponsors and the presenters themselves?
You've written about a wider rethinking of the future of public service media, and you've suggested, along with your colleague Roddy Flynn, that perhaps the commercial side of public service broadcasting needs to be removed entirely.
Definitely. And if something positive is to come out of this, and if trust is to be restored, we've heard a lot about restoring trust in the past few days, it's not going to simply be a few tweaks to governance rules and a few heads rolling here or there. It has to set RTE and public service media up for the future by rethinking what it does, how it serves the public at the moment, and also that financial relationship, how it sits within the Irish market.
Hugh Linehan, there have been issues around the funding of RTE, and management would have been calling on politicians to reform the licence fee collection in recent years. But has RTE lost that argument now, do you think?
Well, I really hope not, because it remains important. I listened with interest to the Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, earlier on, and I was particularly interested that he said it was now time to have a close examination of public service broadcasting in Ireland. That's been going on for about 12 years now, and his party, Fine Gael, have been in power for all that time. And I think that the current government and previous ones bear some responsibility for this mess, because RTE is in a complete shambles, and one of the reasons is structural problems which have not been addressed by successive governments. But in addition to that, I do have to say, I mean, I'm one of the reasons this is so eye-opening to me, and why I agree with what Eileen just said, is there's always been a difficulty for those of us who cover RTE, the way in which it wraps the mantle of public service broadcasting around itself when it suits it, and it wraps the mantle of commercial sensitivity around itself when it doesn't want to divulge numbers. And the relationship between that commercial side and the public interest side, I suppose you can always expect attention there. But the reality is it has been incredibly opaque. And what we're discovering now is it wasn't just opaque to us outside. It was opaque to people inside the organisation as well. Time and time again, RTE make decisions which it defends giving any information on for public sensitivity. I'll give you just one recent example is the toy show, the musical Debacle, which landed in Dublin last December. That was a very large media organisation, the biggest media organisation in the country, intervening in the Christmas theatre market, which had been decimated by COVID for the previous 3 years, without any regard to that, trying to throw its weight around. As it happened, the show was a disaster. We don't know how it came about. We don't know whose idea it was. We don't know how much it cost. We don't know how much it lost. We don't know if it's going to happen again. And frankly, none of that is acceptable for what's supposed to be a public service organisation.
Just to focus, though, on this immediate controversy, well, what state do you think Ryan Tubridy's broadcasting career is at the moment following the past few days?
Well, it's not in great shape, is it? His first statement was appallingly tenured. His second statement, presumably he got some better advice, was somewhat better. It's very hard to understand how he couldn't have noticed the discrepancy between the public statements of RTE on the fees. And I think it's important to say fees, not salary. He's not an employer. It is a different relationship. On the fees which he was receiving and the ones which he was actually receiving. Either he's really bad at keeping an eye on his own books, or he decided not to notice this, and that really does send out a very bad message. And there is a broader question here, and it can't be ignored. There was a lot of RTE saying that it was at the head of kind of the country pulling together over the course of COVID, and part of that were claims that were made about everybody taking the pain, including these extremely well paid individuals, of whom Ryan Tubridy was the best paid. And now we discover that wasn't true, or at least the information that we were given about that wasn't. It was very far from complete. He doesn't come well out of that.
Just finally, Dr. Cullity, this breach of trust that has been spoken about so much over the past few days, can it be restored, and how?
Well, I think there's immediate things, and there's maybe, I don't want to say they're the more trivial things, but there's the simple things, like these issues around those high-paid earners who occupy this bizarre Janus-faced position where they put on their public service hat when they want to describe their role and value, and then they put on their private interest hat when they want to negotiate deals and sponsorship. A lot of programmes that are sponsored, but they also engage in news and current affairs, like that's clearly problematic. So this issue of the possibility or even the perception that there could be undue commercial influence has to be addressed. And then over the longer term, it has to be about restructuring. How does a public service media entity fit going into the 21st century and serve a very changing audience?
All right, we leave it there. Dr. Eileen Cullity of the School of Communications at DCU and Hugh Linehan, Arts and Culture Editor of the Irish Times. Thank you both for joining us.